Christmas joy. No, leave it up there. Yeah, that's. I like it up a little higher. This in here doesn't move as freely. Thank you. Thank you, though, Scott. Thank you. Christmas joy. What was... You're going to take care of that? I can move front, too, if I need to. I can stand front here and look right down at Luann and Skylar. Okay, folks. What was this candle about? Hope. What was this one about? Peace. What was this one about? Thank you. Thank you. You are remembering some things. Christmas joy, the third Sunday of Advent, is that of joy. And many people love this time of the year because it's Christmas. It's a joyful season. It's a joyful season. All season long, we celebrate with music, celebrate with lights, celebrate with talking to people more than we probably do sometimes of the year, especially strangers. Going into the stores and talking to people, saying Merry or Happy Holidays. Oh, I hope that's not right. To people, we celebrate by getting together with family and friends, having gift exchanges. Oh boy, don't you like that? It doesn't matter what age you are. At the heart of all this is the astounding good news that Jesus Christ was born. And he was born as what? He was born as our Savior. He was born as our Savior. In this Christmas story, we see various outbursts and moments of joy that are all centered around Jesus' birth. Now, this is a joyous time of the year. Did I hear that being said? Did I see head shake? But I know that it isn't as joyous for some people. Because I know from past experience, there were people, especially in healthcare, there were people that came to see a mother or a father. And if you were coming, I wasn't going to be there. But if I knew that person wasn't going to be there, then I'd go visit. That's not happiness, is it? That's struggles. There's struggles in family relationships. I don't care what season of the year it is. That always is a challenge. And it really is difficult to enjoy the real reason for the season through those struggles. But praise God for this Christmas season, this time of joyful celebration. At this time, we're going to hear read for us. The scripture that we're going to be using this morning is from Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, give Barry a microphone, please. Barry is the one that has the scriptures. You just didn't hand them out, so you didn't know where they were. Sorry about that. Luke chapter 2, and of course, if Barry's reading, we're going to hear it from the Message.
There were sheep herders camping in the neighborhood. They had set night watches over their sheep. Suddenly, God's angel stood among them, and God's glory blazed around them. They were terrified. The angel said, "Don't be afraid. I'm here to announce a great and joyful event that is meant for everybody, worldwide. A Savior has just been born in David's town, a Savior who is Messiah and Master. This is what you're to look for, a baby wrapped in a blanket and lying in a manger." At once the angel was joined by a huge angelic choir singing God's praises. "Glory to God in the heavenly heights, peace to all men and women on earth who please him." As the angel choir withdrew into heaven, the sheepherders talked it over. "Let's get over to Bethlehem as fast as we can and see for ourselves what God has revealed to us." They left, running, and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. Seeing was believing. They told everyone they had met what the angels had said about this child. All who heard the sheepherders were impressed. Mary kept all these things to herself, holding them dear, deep within herself. The sheepherders returned and let loose, glorifying and praising God for everything they had heard and seen. It turned out exactly the way they'd been told.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Who is it that came to earth. Who is it that we're celebrating? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Jesus, who is God's Son, one of the Trinity. This was long predicted that there's going to be a Messiah, the God appointed and the God anointed, one who should fulfill the promises of the Abrahamic and Davidic covenants in whom there was going to be realized. And we know that when God gives a promise, He is going to fulfill it. That's a little different than each of you here this morning. Because sometimes we make promises and we break them. And sometimes we got to ask forgiveness. The promises that God gives will not go unfulfilled. He was nonetheless the Lord. That is Jehovah. The Greek word here is Kairos, translated Lord. The title Christ the Lord would startle those shepherds beyond measure as they were out in their hillside. And you know what? It should still affect us today. It should still affect us today. He is God's man. He came and was fully human. And from David, Psalm of David, David's prayer in Psalm 51:12, it says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." David had sinned against God. He repented and asked God's forgiveness. "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Or from Isaiah 12:3, "With joy you will draw water from wells of salvation." Drawing water out of a well. What would it be like if you were out traveling someplace, walking, and they said, "There's a well so many miles ahead. When you get there, you're going to get water." And by that time, you were very, 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 very thirsty. You hadn't drank anything. And you get there, and there's a bucket and a rope, and you pull it up, and all that's in it is ground dust. There's no water there. Do we sometimes run our lives in that way? God wants us to be feeding out of His well, the well that never will run dry. "With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." The Advent not only reminds us of Christ's first coming, but it also reminds us that Christ is going to what? Come again. Anybody think about that Christ is coming again this week? Think about it. Have you given some thought to that this week? I really haven't. I don't know, have you? Sometimes we go along in life and we don't think that Christ is coming again. We get so caught up in what we're actively doing that we forget about that. But you know, as we center our thoughts, as we think about that, that will guide us as we prepare. Because what did I say earlier? God's promises will be fulfilled. He doesn't mess up. So how did He come? He came to us, a Savior, through God using a virgin to carry the Christ child. And another prophecy from Isaiah 7:14, and probably some of you know that by heart. "Therefore the Lord shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us." And there's another one somebody has here, Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. I believe Alice and Larry have that.
"For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace."
Thank you.
"Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
Thank you. I forgot she had to turn her page. Sorry about that. Okay. We see here through the virgin birth of Mary how it sanctifies motherhood. Let us remember the sanctity of human life even today. Let us not forget it, realizing that each life, no matter where you're at, what stage of life, where you're born, life is precious in His sight. It honors womanhood in contrasting to the non-Christian religions and our present-day tendencies. Do you see the dignity here that is conferred on our human race as it links God Himself with how He came through a woman? God Himself as He came through a woman. Since He was born, He was truly human as well as eternally divine. Think about that. He left the parapets of heaven and came down to earth. He spans the gulf between God and man. Think of it. God, the Son, was humanly born. The miraculous conception from Luke 1, 34 through 38, and I think Mary has it back there, Musser.
"How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born and will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her.
Thank you. The Holy Spirit will come upon you in the incarnation was accomplished by the creative act of the Holy Spirit in the body of Mary. The virgin birth was a special miracle performed by the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, whereby the second person of the Trinity, the eternal Son of God, took to Himself a genuine, though sinless, human nature and was born as a man without surrendering any of His deity. Think of the scene as Mary was told to go to Elizabeth. Now here we have two women that are both pregnant, carrying babies. Who was Elizabeth carrying? John the Baptist. Yes, John the Baptist. When Mary and Elizabeth met, the baby started jumping in Elizabeth's womb. Now, we have Elizabeth saying to Mary, "Mary is the mother of her Lord," recognizing who she was carrying. John the Baptist was in close proximity with Jesus when He came to bring salvation for His people. John jumping for joy in the womb. And I think if we had testimony time, we could have the mothers here talking to us about those times when those babies are in the womb, moving around. Something we fathers don't understand, except if the wife says, "Put your hand here, feel the baby kicking? Feel him kicking? Feel the baby kicking, baby, he or she, whichever." You can tell us stories about that. A wonderful time for mothers to talk together, to fellowship together, to share things from mother to mother, what was taking place in their bodies and in their lives. Where was this baby going to be born? In the city of David. What were the historic connections here with Bethlehem had for those shepherds? Bethlehem means the house of bread. He said, I am the bread of life. It was there that Jacob's beloved Rachel gave her last pledge of her affection, little Benjamin. Little Benjamin was born and she died through childbearing at that time. Then there's where gentle Ruth gleaned in the field and became the wife of noble Boaz. It was the city of Joab and Abishai and others. More than this, it was David's city. David was born there amidst the nearby hills and the gorges. Here's where he learned to sling those stones with his slingshot, practice upon practice upon practice, playing his harp, singing his praises, all awaiting David's Messiah successor. And then there was, in a stable, a king being born in a stable, because there was no room in the inn. There was no room in the inn. What would have happened to those innkeepers if they had known who they were serving that night? Now, a question for you this morning and for me. What about your heart? Do you have room for him? Or are you like the innkeeper? Micah 5:2 is a prophecy where he was going to be born. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto that which is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old and from everlasting. Or we can turn to, and it's fulfilled then in Matthew 5:2, 5, and 6. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes from Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel, being a shepherd to his people. Where was he? Remember when he was born? In verse 11 that was read for us, it was this day a Savior was born. It was a glad time for these shepherds. But it was also condemning to us. This day was over 2,000 years ago, yet there are millions who have never heard. Yet there are millions who have never heard. Here in Mannheim, surrounding areas, how about our neighbors? Do you like to wait for news? The excitement and the arrival of a new baby? Boy, that starts a lot of things up. Those moms who are carrying babies get together, and then when the baby is born, there's a lot of celebration goes on. The joy of a new baby. The joy leads to proclamation. Joy leads to proclamation. See again here why he was born unto you, is born a Savior. Do you think of the angels would come with such excitement had this been the birth of a philosopher or a statesman or a warrior? Nothing could have brought them trooping over the parapets of glory but the titanic tidings, that of a Savior. How many of you know what a parapet is? A parapet is like a flat roof, and there's a wall goes up higher than the flat roof, so you got to get over it. So coming out of heaven, they had to get over the parapets of glory. Learned a new one for today. But there was a Savior coming that was going to save them from sin, death, hell. Save his people from their sins. See how man proposes and God disposes. I heard that this morning when you were sharing what the Holy Spirit was doing in you this week, as you were praying first, listening second, and then acting out third. Think about that. See how man proposes and God disposes. The inn receives all comers to their inn. So does Christ. His sign is a banner of love. Whoever comes, he will in no wise cast out. Unlike the innkeepers, he will welcome those without money or script. You don't need any money for Jesus, do you? You don't need any script. You don't need any papers to say, hey, this is who I am. Accept me in because of who I am, the family I was born into, and all those other credentials people would like to say that I'm going to be able to get into heaven with. Let's look a little bit at what a Savior is. The Savior came to earth to be our Savior. He became man's substitute. A substitute. Remember having a substitute teacher at school? Remember how you used to treat that substitute teacher at times? They didn't really know exactly what was going on, and sometimes there was commotion going on in that class that shouldn't have been. I just heard recently of somebody that had been substituting, and they couldn't handle it anymore because of the way the class has acted. A Savior born because of the sin of many, carrying the burdens of humanity. This one I like. Became our mediator. Today, Jesus is at the right hand of God, and he's interceding for you and I until he's told to come back to receive us unto himself. He was called the Lamb of God. He offered himself as a sacrifice. Let's observe unto whom he came. Who did the angel Gabriel leave heaven to come to? The assignment that he had to come to earth. Unto you is born a Savior, that is, unto you shepherds. Not the chief priests, not the elite of society, but unto the people of Israel, and especially unto the human beings of you and I. You know these shepherds weren't the cream of the crop. They certainly weren't the elite of society. You know they weren't looked on. They were a little bit smelly. They were staying out in the fields. They weren't coming in every other day to shower and so on. But they were abiding in their fields. They were watching their flocks in the out of doors. They saw the heavens. They saw nature. They were protecting from the wild beast, their sheep. It's an important thing for us to stay close to the shepherd and not drift away. Jesus, our shepherd, is concerned about each one. Remember the word here, watch. We need to be watched. The Bible says, watch and be ready, for in an hour when you think not, he will return. And if somebody's come to steal something, and if you're watching, they probably won't come. When you're not watching, they want to come. Next, note what feelings should be ours in reaction to this joyous tiding. The first word here in this text shows for, which connects it at once with the foregoing verses, which we have. Fear not, great joy. We share good news from this verse 11. We share good news with each other all the time. Think about it. How many times did you share news, good news with people this week? When something good happens, we talk about it with our friends at church, at work, at school, and even people posted on Facebook and all those Instagram and other ways to communicate information without even talking to somebody. You just put it there. I don't know how it's being said. I don't know how it's being interpreted. I can't watch your body language when you send that message to me or anything. There was a message came through, not to my Facebook, I don't have an account, but something was mentioned by my wife, Joanne, about that, about the comment, about the statement. Well, you can take it most any way you want. You can put a lot of different inflections into the words that are before you. When the good news is the birth of a baby, we especially share it with others. We take pictures. We send out birth announcements. We are filled with joy at birth of a child, and that joy naturally leads to proclamation. We want everyone to know and share in our joy, do we not? Well, tell me, if we tell everyone about the birth of our own babies, how much more should we proclaim the birth of God's Son? Good news is for sharing. There's no better news than the news the angels shared with the shepherds at first Christmas. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. So, what did the shepherds do? They talked about it. After they received the good news of great joy that was for all people, they had their meeting. I don't know. I wonder what happened to the other sheep, if all everybody went, or if the sheep were there by himself. I don't know that. You can figure that out. May our hearts find peace and joy in believing the glad message, just as the shepherds. May our feelings reflect that of the shepherds in five areas. You have five fingers and a thumb. I mean, four fingers and a thumb, however. First one, resolve. What did they say? Let us now go to Bethlehem. Let's go. Let's get going. Let's not wait. Let's go. Reward. Verse 16. They came and they found. They came and they found, as the shepherds had said. The third R is report. It was widespread. It was made known abroad. It was a true fact. Boy, when I had this, thought about this, a true fact. How many of you have been in the United States this past week, and you hear all these here things going on in the House of Representatives to talk about facts and fiction and all that kind of stuff? Yeah, the sayings were told them were true facts. It was impressive because all that heard wondered. The fourth R is return. And the shepherds return. What do you think their steps were like when they went to see this baby? What do you think their steps were like then versus when they came back? Somebody said to me one time, may your steps be light. Well, sometimes when I go around the house, my wife says I'm a little hitting the floor hard with my way I walk. I don't walk very lightly. But I'm sure the shepherds, when they returned, they were walking a lot lighter after they had that. And the fifth one is rejoicing. The shepherds return, glorifying themselves and telling how great they were that they had the privilege to see Jesus. No, we need to back up. They were doing what? The shepherds were glorifying God. Let's get that straight. They were glorifying God, thanking Him. They were rejoicing. Their rejoicing did not call attention to their own privilege, but it called attention to Christ. It was full of Christ to the glory of God. May we follow the example. Let us too rejoice in our dear Savior in such a way to keep men's eyes on Him and glorify God. Whoso loved the world, that He gave us His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Nowadays, there's Christmas festivities are often such as to make social adjustments problematic for the true Christian believer. What's taking place? What are things that are problematic for us as Christian believers? It is an irony. Let there be eager participation, but always in such ways that in all things He might have preeminence. Jesus, the Savior, was born for you and for me and your neighbor next door, people down the street, your relatives, your friends. Think about it. Jesus brought the joy of salvation, which led to the joy of proclamation, which led to the joy of praise. All this was done so there would be joy to the world, which we're going to sing about shortly. Let us pray. God, I thank you for your all-knowing of this human race. You knew what we needed. And then you send a Savior as a babe, who came to save us from our sins, to provide the way to life eternal through your Son, Jesus. God, may we at this Christmas season tell others about who you are by the joy that is in our lives. And help us, Lord, if we don't have that joy, to come to you, to seek you out, to ask forgiveness, to unload baggage, so that we can have the true joy of Christmas in our hearts, in our lives, in our families, in our church, in our nation, and the communities we live. In Jesus' name, amen. So at this time, we're going to end up with joy to the world. And as you think about that, as I sing that, think about what you're singing about joy to the world and the words that are said thereafter.